Today is the first day of spring. That means, of course, longer days, warmer temperatures, and some crazy weather. This is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Dennis, you know, March marks the start of the three-month-long peak tornado season here in Georgia, but many of us here in the Atlanta area may not be so prepared for the windy weather. Joining us here in our Closer Look studio is someone who does know a little bit more about tornadoes. Keith Stellman, well, he's a meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service in Peachtree City. Keith, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
When you hear people, let's start with this. When you hear folks say, look, I really don't know what to do when I hear either the warning or a watch, let's start with that. Define warning, define watch. I think that's key.
Very much so. A watch and a warning. A lot of people get that confused. It's a common question we ask, and it's the most commonly confused thing. A watch means that the conditions in the atmosphere are favorable for tornadoes. Make that clear. Conditions are favorable. It doesn't mean that there is one. It means that they're favorable. Once a warning is issued, we have reason to believe that there is a tornado either on the ground or imminent based on what we see on radar or from observations. So it's the warning that should prompt you into action to enact the plan that you should already have in place. The watch should get you thinking about it, and that's really what the difference is.
And so as we start to think about it, because this is tornado season now, what should people know in terms of preparedness?
Everybody should have a plan, a safe place to go. And you look around your home, that's the first place you should start, is look at your home, look at where you live, and where am I going to go in an emergency if there's a tornado warning, and have that safe place to go. The key thing to that is you want to keep three things in mind. And the firemen, when we were kids, told us to stop, drop, and roll, right? We all remember stop, drop, and roll. So think about these three terms, low, center, head. Get as low as you can in whatever building you're in. If you can go from the second floor to the first floor, do it. If you can go first floor to the basement, do it. Get as low as you possibly can. Go to the center of whatever building or facility you're in. Put as many walls between you and the outside as possible so that the wind would have a much more difficult time getting into the center of that building because it would have to get through those exterior walls to get the interior. So go to the center. And then lastly, cover your head. Protect your head, because that's the one part of your body you need to protect the most. So low center head is the key to beginning any of the preparedness.
It might be hard, for instance, for somebody who, say, lives in an apartment building, just to take one example. You might be on the fourth floor or whatever. Your apartment building probably doesn't have a shelter built in. So if you're in a situation like that, where would you go?
If as long as you can get to the center first, get away from the outside walls, you would be good. But if you can go to the first floor, if there's a place to go on the lowest floor, it's probably only going to take you a few seconds to get to the first floor. That would be highly advisable to get as low as you can. And so if you are high up, sure. Now, some of these really high-rise, sturdy buildings, they're going to withstand some of the higher and even the lower end and maybe even the medium range tornado strengths that we see in the area. And
is that because of building codes?
Yes, and you know, when you look at tornado ratings in general, 92% of all of the tornadoes that we see here in Northwest Georgia are EF2 or less. And so,
and EF2 means as tornadoes go, it's fairly weak. Still a strong storm, but
the EF2 is strong, but most of those are caught up in the EF0s and EF1s, which typically just do outside damage and knock trees down. So if you're in the center of that building, you're fairly safe up through that EF2 range, which covers about 92% of the tornadoes we see here in northern Georgia.
Okay. So, and you mentioned protecting your head. Is it as simple as even getting a bicycle helmet or a batting helmet or a football helmet or something?
Or a pot.
Yeah, or something like that.
Well, and that's why when we advise people to go to the bathrooms as for shelter, to take a pillow or mattress, pull the mattress over you into the bathtub. That's where you hear that from, is to basically cover yourself from falling debris if you get hit or if a tree falls, that you have something to protect yourself from when you're in that.
I want to talk about some do's and don'ts, because I've heard different things over the years. I think we all have.
Yeah.
I've heard a closet. You know, if you're in a condo and you know, you can't get to a low, you know, center head closet, yes, no?
If it's protected from the outside, a closet, interior closet is a good place to go.
Under the bed.
Interior room.
Mm-hmm. Because somebody might say, oh, I'm not sure I'd want to do that because if the tornado hits that, that's going to fall on me.
Sure. We've heard that from different people.
There are all of those situations, and every situation is going to be different.
And before we go to break here, because we're going to come back, just real quickly, if you're outside, now we've always heard get under a truck or find a ditch or something like that. I don't think getting under a tree, but what can you offer if you're outside and you know that there is a warning?
If there is no way to get to a sturdy facility or sturdy building, then you're left with you want to follow the low center head. Get as low as you can. Find a ditch. A ditch is low, below ground.
We'll be back in just a moment with Keith Stillman. He is the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service office in Peachtree City. This is A Closer Look with Rose Scott. I'm Dennis O'Hare, and this is 90.1 WABE. We're continuing our conversation about tornado season, which is upon us. Keith Stillman is here. He is the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service office in Peachtree City. Real quickly, just the idea, I think a lot of us kind of know a little bit about why we have tornadoes in the spring. It's because hot air clashes with cold air. But exactly, I mean, that happens a lot. What conditions do you have to actually produce a tornado? Because not every collision of hot and cold air is going to mean a tornado.
Right. So it's a combination of the hot and cold air, which you mentioned, which gives us instability in the atmosphere. But it's really about the wind shear in the atmosphere. And that is a change in wind direction and wind speed with height. So you go from the ground level high up into the atmosphere, 5 to 10,000 feet. Mm-hmm. If that wind changes both speed and direction with height, you create the environment.
And that's because of the hot and cold air colliding along with the air speed, right?
Yes.
So it's basically a clash, and it produces rotation?
The clash of the warm and cold air gives us the lift to get the air parcels moving. The direction and wind speed give us the spinning motion for the thunderstorms to form.
Let's talk about how you all are able to determine and give enough notice for that. We've seen over the years some people say, well, I didn't hear a siren or I didn't hear this. But let's talk about how far ahead can you all really predict that a tornado might be coming? And is that a challenge? Because you don't want to give a warning and people then start, you know, panicking. But at the same time, you want people to take caution.
With the wind shear, and the instability, we can see that days in advance that the ingredients are coming together. And so there are days, we'll look several days in advance and say, you know what? That day there, the possibility of tornadoes exists. But it's really once we get inside of about 8 hours, the watch will come out and say, all right, here things are starting to look like there's going to be something here in the next 8 to 10 hours. A watch will come out.
Being from the Midwest, growing up, it was common. You know, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. I guess moving to Atlanta, I never thought I would experience, the first time I really, really would experience a tornado would be here in Atlanta. That tornado in 2008, did it sound the alarm anything for you all in terms of how it's changing in terms of where a tornado will hit?
Atlanta has had a history of violent tornadoes, and March, April, May are those months for us primarily. Now, we do have a season in November and December and January, a winter season, but the big tornadoes tend to occur during that March, April, May timeframe. And so it's not a surprise that we had that in March per se, given the history of the area. But on that day, it did come a day early. We were expecting tornadoes the following day, and that one came a day in advance of. And so, yes, in that regard, it was a little bit ahead of the rest of the storms that we were expecting.
And this year so far, and again, it's very early in the tornado season, we've had a fairly quiet time so far. Is that an indicator of what we'll see the rest of the season? Or is, because you can look ahead and look at coming weather patterns, general trends. So are we looking perhaps at a quieter than usual tornado season based on what we've already seen? Or does that even figure in at all as a predictor?
It's interesting you bring that up because the Storm Prediction Center issued a press release just 2 days ago. And in that press release, they indicated that this is the first time in their record keeping, going back to 1970, that they have not issued a watch in the month of March through this point in March. So it has been an extremely quiet season thus far.
Now, does the one thing, it'll stay that way?
Well, that's the one thing they said was in their press release, is that it doesn't indicate anything moving forward, that the things can turn very quickly and the pattern can flip and we can go to severe weather very quickly, since the peak of the season is still yet to come.
Well, that being the case for everyone out there that is listening, and again, I just kind of want to go over, you're assessing your own residency, whether you're in a condo or a house. Again, you want to look for a place that's, you mentioned low center head. So could you go over that again just for anybody listening?
So the biggest thing you can do is to develop a plan. You may not always have to follow your plan, and you may not always be at home, but have a plan for your home. Have a kit or something. If have a place to go, kit or some kind of gear in whatever you're going to go. We call it a safety kit. Batteries, a flashlight, water, in case your house is hit. A lot of people forget to take shoes, because if your house is hit or there's damage, you don't want to get out and walk through the damage barefoot. So have something to generally protect yourself in that place of safety. But again, it's center of whatever building or facility you're in, away from outside walls, is the key to it all.
And I think a lot of us who transmit these warnings then go home and say, oh, do I have that? So here's the question for you. Do you have that at your house?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I want to, real quickly, though, the siren, because we've, over the years, Dennis, yeah. I think you remember there have been some concerns about the siren.
Cobb County had concerns about
I guess, no other way to put it, who pushes the button for the siren? And when you hear the siren, what should you do?
The individual, a lot of people get that confused. They think the National Weather Service controls the sirens. We do not control the sirens. The sirens are controlled and run by the counties and the emergency management communities within those counties. So they're the ones that trigger those. Now, many of the counties have gone to an automated triggering system whereby we draw a tornado warning up and we say this is the area of the tornado warning, and companies will then trigger the tornado sirens within the box that we've drawn where the tornado warning is in effect.
Oh, it's good to know.
Yes.
You hear the siren.
Hear the siren, take shelter.
Gotcha. Wow.
Keith Stellman is the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service in Peachtree City. Hope this has helped a lot of folks, and thanks so much for joining us. We should check back with you toward the end of the season and get a wrap-up.
Thanks, Keith. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.